Today's reading is from The Marriage of Heaven and Hell by William Blake. The ancient poets animated all sensible objects with gods or geniuses, calling them by names and adorning them with properties of woods, rivers, mountains, lakes, cities, nations, and whatever their enlarged and numerous senses could perceive. And particularly, they studied the genius of each city and country, placing it under its mental deity, till a system was formed which took some advantage of and enslaved the vulgar by attempting to realize or abstract the mental deities from their objects. Thus began the priesthood, choosing forms of worship from poetic tales. And at length, they pronounced that the gods had ordered such things. Thus men forgot that all deities reside in the human breast.
My name is Yomi. In Japanese, it literally means read. Reading and stories have been in my life forever, but what really made stories into my passion was the day my godmother gave me a book. This one, much loved. Grimm's Fairy Tales. I was 9 years old, and I never read the gritty, grisly versions of the fairy tales. I fell in love. I started reading myths, legends, fairy stories. In high school, I was introduced to Native American mythos and the archetypes, my favorite being the trickster. Trickster stories can be anything from learning stories to world-building stories. The animals used to represent these kinds of characters are all smart and wily. In college, I studied philosophy and religion, and I began to truly understand the fairy tales I love so much. Learning history rounded out my understanding. I know a lot of stories are under attack because of social changes. What we as a society have to remember, though, is that a lot of these same stories were also talking about social changes from the past. Stories help us relate to each other, help teach us what is expected of us by society, and teach us about other cultures. When I found out I was pregnant with my oldest, the first thing I started to do was read aloud. I was reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for the first time. I would like to read you a story from So Long and Thanks for All the Fish. It is a story being told by Arthur to his girlfriend, Fenchurch. "I'll tell you a story," said Arthur. "Good." They found a patch of grass that was relatively free of couples actually lying on top of each other, and sat and watched the stunning ducks and the low sunlight rippling on the water which ran beneath the stunning ducks. "A story," said Fenchurch, cuddling his arm to her, "which will tell you something of the sort of things that happened to me. It's absolutely true." "A true story?" "You know, sometimes people tell you stories that are supposed to be something that happened to their wife's cousin's best friend, but actually probably got made up somewhere along the line." "Well, it's like one of those stories, except that it actually happened. And I know it actually happened, because the person it actually happened to was me."
"Like the raffle ticket."
Arthur laughed. "Yes, I had a train to catch. I arrived at the station." "Did I ever tell you," interrupted Fenchurch, "what happened to my parents in a station?"
"Yes," said Arthur, "you did."
"Just checking." Arthur glanced at his watch. "I suppose we could think of getting back," he said. "Tell me the story," said Fenchurch firmly. "You arrived at the station." "I was about 20 minutes early. I'd got the time of the train wrong. I suppose it is at least equally possible," he added after a moment's reflection, "the British Rail had got the time of the train wrong. Hadn't occurred to me before." "Get on with it," Fenchurch laughed.
So I bought a newspaper to do the crossword and went to the buffet to get a cup of coffee. You do the crossword? Yes. Which one? The Guardian, usually. I think it tries to be too cute. I prefer the Times. Did you solve it? What? The crossword and the Guardian. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, said Arthur. I'm still trying to buy the coffee. All right, then. Buy the coffee. I'm buying it. I am also, said Arthur, buying some biscuits. What sort? Rich tea. Good choice. I like them. Laden with all these new possessions, I go and sit at a table. And don't ask me what the table was like, because this was some time ago and I can't remember. It was probably round. All right. So let me give you the layout. Me sitting at the table, on my left the newspaper, on my right the cup of coffee, in the middle of the table the packet of biscuits. I see it perfectly. What you don't see, said Arthur, because I haven't mentioned him yet, is the guy sitting at the table already. He's sitting there opposite me. What's he like? Perfectly ordinary, briefcase, business suit. He didn't look, said Arthur, as if he were about to do anything weird. I know the type. What did he do? He did this. He leaned across the table, picked up the packet of biscuits, tore it open, took one out, and what? Ate it! What? He ate it! Fenchurch looked at him in astonishment. What on earth did you do? Well, in the circumstances, I did what any red-blooded Englishman would do. I was compelled, said Arthur, to ignore it. What? Why? Well, it's not the sort of thing you're trained for, is it? I searched my soul and discovered that there was nothing anywhere in my upbringing, experience, or even primal instincts to tell me how to react to someone who has quite simply, calmly, sitting right there in front of me, stolen one of my biscuits. Well, you could, Fenchurch thought about it. I must say, I'm not sure what I would have done either. So what happened? I stared furiously at the crossword, said Arthur. Couldn't do a single clue. Took a sip of coffee. It was too hot to drink. So there was nothing for it. I braced myself. I took a biscuit. Trying very hard not to notice, he added, that the packet was already mysteriously open. But you're fighting back, taking a tough line. After my fashion, yes, I ate the biscuit. I ate it very deliberately and visibly, so that he would have no doubt as to what it was I was doing. When I eat a biscuit, said Arthur, it stays eaten. So what did he do? Took another one. Honestly, insisted Arthur, this is exactly what happened. He took another biscuit. He ate it, clear as daylight, certain as we are sitting on the ground. Fenchurch stirred uncomfortably. And the problem was, said Arthur, that having not said anything the first time, it was somehow even more difficult to broach the subject the second time around. What do you say? Excuse me? I couldn't help noticing, or doesn't work. No, I ignored it with anything even more vigor than previously. My man. Stared at the crossword again, still couldn't budge a bit of it, so showing some of the spirit that Henry V did on St. Crispin's Day. What? I went into the breach again. I took, said Arthur, another biscuit. And for an instant, our eyes met. Like this? Not quite like that. But they met, just for an instant, and we both looked away. But I'm here to tell you, said Arthur, that there was a little electricity in the air. There was a little tension building up over the table at about this time. I can imagine. We went through the whole packet like this. Him, me, the whole packet? Well, it was only 8 biscuits, but it seemed like a lifetime of biscuits we were getting through at this point. Gladiators could hardly have had a tougher time. Gladiators, said Fenchurch, would have had to do it in the sun, more physically exerting. There is that. So when the empty packet was lying dead between us, the man at last got up, having done his worst, and left. I heaved a sigh of relief, of course. As it happens, my train was announced a moment or two later, so I finished my coffee, stood up, picked up the newspaper, and underneath the newspaper, yes, were my biscuits. What? Said Fincher. What? True. No. She gasped and tossed herself back on the grass laughing. She sat up again. You complete nitwit, she hooted. You almost completely and utterly foolish person. We still read every night. It's an important ritual. I'm also so amazed at how many connections my boys make about situations they've never personally experienced. And it's due to reading. Leo Widrich's article also says that when a child is read to, they have a clearer theory of mind than a child that isn't read to, meaning they learn to connect quicker experiences from different situations. We are all part of our children's journey to becoming strong-minded, compassionate adults. In writing this, I kept getting caught up on the God part, the spiritual aspect of my message. And in my mind, I kept going back to the Tower of Babel. God flooded the world. When humanity rebuilt, they had a distrust of God, so they began building the tower. Two important points about the tower. One, it was built of bricks, not stones, but that's a whole different sermon. And two, it was being built to reach heaven, so if God decided to flood the world again, humans would have a sanctuary. I was raised to think that the story was all about disobedience of humans because God said he'd never flood the world again. Now I see that this wasn't why God took away our common tongue and had us scattered to the winds. I must say, I'm not a biblical scholar, so my opinion is based on how the Old Testament talks about God and my own experiences and ruminations. But I believe it was God's mortification at losing our trust and letting people see too much of one small part of creation. People became distracted by the fear to the point of letting others control them. That goes back to the bricks, not stones part. And God saw the only way for human beings to regain that sense of trust was to break up their mob mentality so that they could again see the whole of creation and their places within it. But God left a window open. Stories. Stories are integral to culture. Stories have been one of the vehicles we use to continue our culture. These stories of other cultures help us to understand and love others. It puts a part of them in us. When we have common ground with others, when you see yourselves in them and them in you, then that similarity helps you to understand that they are as worthy of love and respect as you. I would like to leave you with two quotes. The first one by Brandon Sanderson. The purpose of a storyteller is not to tell you how to think, but to give you questions to think about. The second is from Plato. Come then, and let us pass a leisurely hour in storytelling, and our story shall be the education of our heroes.